This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where it's time for the C-Block starring Corey Majors.
How often during the week, Kevin, do you go, I gotta go work with these guys?
Every day.
And is Alec included in that conversation?
He started to, especially.
Why?
Because of what just happened in the break when you're like, I go, is that a good point?
Tell me what happened.
It really is.
Tell me what happened, Kevin.
I'm not going to do that.
Because you know it's true.
It was a decent conversation.
It was a decent conversation that is not suitable for air.
All right. Kevin, as we dive into the C-Block's hits and misses, we have continued to track the top 10 rushing records and top 10 passer records of the year. At the moment, the top 10 rusher records yesterday, 82 and 38. They were 8-2 yesterday. Man. 8-2 yesterday after five straight weeks going 6-4. And then yesterday for the top 10 passers, 3-7. That puts them at a 61-59 record this year.
So I'm really glad that you've continued this study throughout the year, because if you would have said at the beginning of the year, which do I think has a stronger correlation, I would have been like, the better passers has a stronger correlation to the better record. That has not been the case at all this year.
And that being said, I don't know. I'll go back at the end of the year and look at this, because hasn't it felt like over the last 5 years, the passers have been the ones that have been winning games?
Yes.
And this year, quarterback play has seemed to be down. Mahomes is down.
I agree with that.
Tom Brady's not in the league anymore. Aaron Rodgers isn't good anymore.
Correct. Dak's hurt.
Yeah. I mean, the two best quarterbacks right now, as far as MVP standards go, are runners. Josh Allen is a runner as much as he is a passer, and Lamar Jackson's more of a runner than he is a passer, so that kind of skews it a little bit too. The one that really fits into the mold of what we've always known as quarterbacks is Jared Goff, and that is he has a dominant running game, and he is able to be efficient as a quarterback.
Yeah.
So it's a really weird thing. I just wanted to – I don't know why I started keeping track of this year, but I did, and that's where we stand. Top 10 rusher records, 82 and 38. Top 10 passers, 61 and 59. So there you go there.
By the way, for people asking on the Frankel injury attorney text line, 877-881-1053, Peace of Thought on Wednesday is 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., and we're going to do another little preview of it tomorrow. And I'm willing to wager, Corey, by the time we do that preview, once it's over, the website will go live.
Yeah, I am told.
Oh,
the goal is to have it live at 6 p.m. today.
Gotta get those pictures up.
But I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay.
She has kids, dude.
They're your kids.
Yeah, I get it.
Who are we talking about?
My wife.
Oh, good.
They're also her kids. She splits time.
You guys are together. I don't know about the way you're describing this.
What was it? Was it Ruxin that said one time? It was like, it was on The League.
Teddy Ruxpin.
Not Teddy Ruxpin. He was like, look, man, about right now, about the 50% of time I'm supposed to get with the kids, I get about 20%. If I get divorced, then my 50%, I'm going to have to be with them 100% of that time.
That's a good point.
I'm pretty good with that 20.
You're not going to put them in front of the iPad as willingly as when, let's just say, theoretically, your two-year-old's like, oh, iPad.
Yeah.
And you're like, sounds good.
Yeah.
Hey, look, Alec, Survivor Series 1990 is not going to finish itself.
It's a fact.
One. How many times do you watch these wrestling things?
The Survivor Series is based around Thanksgiving, and I enjoy it.
But after you watch it, when do you go back to it, like a year later, 10 years later?
Not necessarily. It's probably closer to like 5 years or so, and that's where The Undertaker debuted. So
we will dive into Cowboys hits and misses first. Of the misses yesterday, number one, special teams was an absolute weird game the entire game.
Okay, so I went back and watched it a couple of times.
The game?
No. God, no. The field goal. The second field goal. Because the first one obviously got blocked, and it was disastrous protection around the right side, or I guess the left side. But on the second one, it really did look like that pressure got to Brandon Aubrey again, and he altered the way he kicked it. Now, I might just be a Brandon Aubrey apologist and think that also blocked field goals shouldn't count as missed field goals. I think that's unfair. Because he has four missed field goals this year.
I don't disagree.
Two of them, I think, I believe two of them are blocks. One of them was when he slipped, and then the other one was the one that we saw yesterday. But I thought he altered his procedure because he could feel the pressure coming again.
Somebody just texted me and said, can you give me some info about Pizza-thon? First off, it is Pizza-thon. What are you doing here? No, but seriously, we will have Pizza-thon going on at
my possibilities.
Yeah, at MP, thanks to our friend Michael Gonzalez. All right.
And people are supposed to bring us food on Wednesday, remember?
Yes.
Look, deliver food to us.
Yes, we'll be here.
Please.
Mike will probably be here at 5:59. We'll be here.
This is what time I came here. How do you know?
We've worked together quite a while, Mike.
My problem is I don't have that card. I lost it, so I have to call you
guys.
That
was like 2 months ago.
Well, I went to Italy.
Did you take it to Italy?
Do you know what they call an IV in Italy?
VI, I don't know.
Four.
Miss number two.
Give me a four.
The Terry McLaurin touchdown shouldn't
Roman
have happened.
Numerals.
That was a terrible busted play. The Cowboys also now have...
I'm sorry, Corey. Can you go back with the Terry McLaurin thing?
It shouldn't have
McLaurin
happened.
Thing again because, Mike, I just want to make this very clear. It's not that I didn't understand your joke. I want to make that very clear. I got it.
Said four.
It was better than yours earlier, Kevin.
Oh, the hell it was.
I don't know why this note is in here,
but it
says the Cowboys now have six takeaways in the last three games. And I don't know why I put that note in there, but it's there.
I mean, look. They got three turnovers in this game. Washington, I know the last one was just like a Hail Mary, but Washington only turned the ball over five times all season.
Yeah.
So that's impressive.
The Cowboys hits of the Sunday, number five, that wild-ass Kevontae Turpin touchdown. That was wild.
Okay.
The way that it, whenever it happened, my thought, because I heard your thought earlier, my initial thought whenever he when it went through his legs was, of course.
Yes.
Like, that's just the way this season has gone.
And you thought we were going to lose, right?
Yeah.
Because we were going to get stuffed on three and out or whatever.
I honestly thought when he made the spin move that he was about to get leveled. I really did. Yep. It was like, you don't. I was very concerned for his health because when he did that, I was like, it's not going to turn out good. And then all of a sudden, he's gone. But again, straight lines, you can't catch that guy. Find ways to get that ball so where he doesn't have to juke. He can just run in straight lines.
It was such a ridiculous move. That's why I don't think anyone was prepared for it. They're like, oh, he's in trouble. There's no way he'll spin us. And then he went through like three people that they were like, what?
Number four, Donovan Wilson's forced fumble. That leads to the Cowboys touchdown going up 20-9 in the fourth quarter. Number three, Rico Dowdle had a pretty darn good game, 4.5 yards per carry. That's all I asked for him on Friday. I said, look, man, if I can just get consistency out of Rico Dowdle, which of late, he has been consistently successful running the football.
Even without the big runs, because I think, I don't know if you already said this, I'm sorry if you did, that 9 yards was his longest run yesterday, but it didn't feel like a struggle running performance because you were, to your point, moving the chain, getting good yardage and setting you up for effective third down.
It didn't feel like you were just running on first down the whole game, too.
Yes.
Like, I know, I think it was Olsen was talking about that. He's like, a lot of coaches feel like they just got to get the run going, but starting on first down, that's not necessarily how you have to do it.
I feel like we've talked about
number two, Cooper Rush hitting Jalen Brooks on that 41-yarder right before halftime. That was impressive.
And that... Were you more impressed on Jalen Brooks on that?
Yeah.
Because it felt like a classic underthrow.
He had to do some work to get that
Brooks
catch.
Brooks is like, no, I'm going to get it.
And then the number one hit from yesterday for me, Chauncey Golston's big man gets an interception. Anytime a defensive lineman gets a pick, we got to give him some love. And he did that after having an IV from dehydration.
Don't. I already know where you're going with this, Mike. Now, let me ask you this.
A four.
Upon first viewing, I thought that Chauncey Golston ripped the ball out of the receiver's hands. I didn't realize until you watch it again, kind of the ricochet. I thought he just ripped it out of his hands and started running.
It was very similar. It felt very similar to the Guyton. Whenever he got the ball, it just kind of landed in his hands and he knew what to do. Let's go with the hits and misses from the NFL weekend. Let's start with the misses. Honorable mention, the Commanders. You lost to the Cowboys. Also honorable mention, Anthony Richardson. He wasn't good yesterday. 11 for 28. And that offense, it's just weird watching Anthony Richardson because you're like,
that's fair.
Big play. And then you're like, what happened? But that's exactly what Carter told us in his preview for Anthony Richardson was you're going to get some amazing plays and then some of the dumbest things you've ever seen.
Yes, I'm with you on that.
Number three on the misses list, the 49ers. Yesterday, they had 10 missed tackles in the first quarter, 15 missed tackles in the first half, and 20 overall.
Wow.
They were bad yesterday.
Holy moly.
And I know Brandon Allen's not the best quarterback and everything, right? And Brock Purdy was out. But there's some serious problems going on with San Francisco. I go back to the injuries being the biggest factor for them. The way the physical style they play, they're going to have a problem the rest of the year being that.
I legitimately have no idea who's going to win that division. I have no clue.
Yeah, I don't either. There are a lot of teams that could fall into it.
And the
sure.
Niners don't have the automatic playoff win this year
exactly.
with the Cowboys.
Yep.
That's a good point.
Number two, the Giants quarterback change was a miss. Tommy DeVito was 3 for 5 in the first half for 31 yards. Three for five.
That's good? Almost the amount of passing yards Daniels had against the Cowboys with 5 minutes left.
Man.
Yeah, he's kind of right about
wasn't he
that.
Like 9 of 18 for 80 yards?
Yeah, it was 86 or 87. It was pretty bad.
And then the number one miss of yesterday, Matt Eberflus, who, look, I think he's a good dude and everything. He's not doing well as the coach for the Chicago Bears. Yesterday, George McCaskey, the president of the Chicago Bears, walked through the tailgates. He walked around. Now, I was fascinated would Jerry Jones ever walk around the tailgates out there? I don't know if I've ever seen it, but he was walking around at the tailgates and fans were yelling at him to get rid of Matt Eberflus. At which point, if you can read lips, it looks like he says, I know.
Oh, no.
So that didn't turn out
as they lose to
the Vikings.
Are you proud of them for knowing what that dude looked like? I know we all know Jerry Jones and everything because he does 8,000 interviews, including with us Fridays right here on The Fan. But
I wouldn't know Tom Guglardi.
Yeah. Are you impressed by the people who are tailgating like, hey,
yeah, George, hey, come over here, McCaskey? I bet they called him that, too.
I bet they did.
Oh, McCaskey, there he is walking around with us today. Let's go for the hits of the weekend. Honorable mention, Bo Nix and Cortland Sutton have a fantastic connection. 273 yards, 2 touchdowns for Bo Nix. Both touchdowns were to Sutton, who had 8 for 97. That's now 5 straight games of at least 6 catches for 70 yards for Cortland Sutton. He's finally living up to what I thought was he should have been a top pick in the first round in 2018.
Can I throw in a non-football hit?
Sure.
Anybody who is going to Shell Shack off Lincoln Square today to go see the G-Bag Nation, you have an opportunity to enter for a free dinner for four up to $100 in value. So you can check them out today at the Shell Shack in Arlington.
Also on honorable mention, Jordan Addison, 8 for 162 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah,
on a game that Justin Jefferson wasn't a huge part of.
Yeah, that was another game. It was like the Chiefs one where I thought it was over, and then you pop it back on, and you're like, oh, wait, holy crap, what is happening here? I feel like I missed a lot. Like the Cowboys game, too.
I feel like this maybe shouldn't be honorable mention, but I'm trying to figure it out. David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. This is the 9th game where both of them have scored a touchdown, and that's tied for 3rd all-time in a pair of running backs doing that.
Do you know what they call them? I believe they call them Sonic
and Knuckles. Yeah. By the way, to add to that, 22 wins for the Lions in the last 2 years is the most wins in any 2-season span in franchise history.
All right.
They've never had double-digit win seasons back-to-back.
We can talk about it more in depth now if you want, but if you want to wait...
Let's wait on that.
I was astonished by that until I looked at the history of this team, and I was like, oh,
it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it really does.
Number three on the hits of the weekend, Tua is now 7-0 against the Patriots, 317 yards, 4 touchdowns. Jonu Smith, by the way, 35 targets, 27 catches, 299 yards, and 3 touchdowns in the 5 games since Tua's gotten back.
Man.
So Jonu Smith has come alive. Number two, Saquon Barkley.
He's only second?
255 yards and 2 touchdowns. That was an impressive game by him. Yes, I will give Josh Jacobs the number one spot.
I get you.
He buried the Niners yesterday with 106 yards. He had 3 touchdowns, and that was an impressive game by him. Yes, Barkley's yards were great. Those touchdowns by Josh Jacobs yesterday were very impressive. And again, Who was number three on the misses? It was the Niners, who had 10 missed tackles to start that game off because Josh Jacobs was playing a really good game.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we've been shifting stuff around all day, so you get some Mike Likes It.
Should you only be allowed 15 three-point attempts per game?
Oh.
Next.
Dinwiddie does. He missed. Perfect guy to shoot it. Try again. Missed it again. You couldn't ask for a better scripted finish for Miami. They win the game in overtime, 123-118.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through the Fan. Thanks for rocking with us today. By the way, John in North Richland Hills was the winner of our Miranda Lambert concert ticket giveaway. If you come out to Buffalo Wild Wings in Addison tomorrow, you have an opportunity to win plenty of stuff. And then Peace-a-thon is Wednesday. But now it's time for Mike Likes It.
I wanted to talk a little bit of NBA, and I get it. It's a football day, but I wanted to talk about this today because tomorrow I am going to take a load off and have some fun with the Tolos at Buffalo Wild Wings in Addison for Mike Likes It.
The pop you get for that every time is unbelievable.
But this Mike Likes It is about basketball, and it's about Nick Wright, who used to be down in Houston. Now he's been with Fox Sports 1 for a long time, and he's a big NBA fan, and he's finding himself not interested in NBA this year. And he's like, it's amazing to me that I'm not interested. This has been my number one sport for such a long time, and I'm just not interested in it. And he is talking about the three-point shot. And he is saying it's kind of like the shift in baseball. It's kind of like, putting four guys in the outfield. He's like, baseball had to do something dramatic. The analysts were saying, hey, the analytics of the game, the people who are like, this makes a lot of sense, but for the product, it doesn't make sense. This is not fun. And so he's talking about the three-point shot. Last night in the Dallas Maverick game, we just played a highlight. There were 81 three-pointers taken in that game.
Good night.
24 of 81 for the game. So if you watched an NBA player shoot a three-pointer last night in the match, and it was an entertaining game. Yeah. I did enjoy the game, but you watched 81 three-pointers. So I wanted to just go on how quick this has happened in NBA history, and maybe this is part of the reason that the ratings are down so much. Nick Wright is saying this is why the ratings are down, or at least a major reason. If I go back to the 2006 NBA Finals, on average, there were 36 three-pointers taken per game. So the Miami-Dallas NBA Finals in 06, you watched 36 three-pointers on average per game in those NBA Finals. The next time the Mavericks make it is 2011 against the Miami Heat. There were 41 three-pointers taken per game in that NBA Finals. So 36 in 06. 41 in 2011, the next time the Mavericks make the NBA Finals was last year, and there were 71 three-pointers taken on average per game in the NBA Finals. So you went from 2011, 41, to 2024, 71. Last night, for an example, it was an overtime game, but there were 81 three-pointers
shot. That is a shocking upward trajectory.
And so there's been a lot of talk about this, and Nick Wright brought this up, and mathematically this makes sense, but he's like, there's no way to do this, so I'm throwing it out there, but let's just eliminate this now because of the record books. If you made a three-pointer worth 4 points and you made a two-pointer worth 3 points, the math would work out better, where it wouldn't be such a big deal on the four-point shot. If you started doing the math, over 30 shots in a game, if you were 50% from two, you would have 45 points. And if you were 10 of 30, 33%, and you made them and they were 4 points, you'd have 40 points. So the three-point shot versus the four-point shot, you'd still go, hey, well, taking twos isn't bad. We got 45 points.
Yeah.
Just to give you an example, last night, the Mavs were 10 of 40 from three. They were 34 of 65 from two. But the analytic part of it would say, just keep shooting the threes.
Yeah.
Even though you were 10 of 40, 25%. It's just, it's gotten to the point where just the mathematics of it, Nick Wright's like, look, the mathematics of it, I get it. Shoot the ball this many times. He said when he was talking to Daryl Morey about this, when he was in Houston and he was Houston's general manager, he's like, I don't care if the product's entertaining or not. The mathematics say you should shoot a three-pointer almost every time you take the ball down the court. And now we're getting to the point where most teams are going, most of the time we should just take a three-point shot, no matter what. Avoid the. They're giving you an uncontested layup. If you have an uncontested three, we'd rather take the uncontested three than the uncontested layup.
Which, just statistically speaking, like you were laying out right with the math, that makes sense to me.
But which really sucks because
agreed.
When you're watching Anthony Edwards now, Corey, you're a big fan of his. I'm not like a fan of his or not a hater of his, but he is one of the most athletic guys. Now he's shooting a dozen three-pointers a game this year. Mm-hmm. And he's like, he's used cuss words in it, but he's like, yeah, they've told me, like, instead of going to the basket and having this unbelievably athletic move or possibly dunking the ball or possibly getting fouled, just shoot a three-pointer. Just shoot 25 feet away from the basket.
What's his percentage? Do you have...
I don't have it up, but...
Because it doesn't feel like whenever I watch him, I'm like... I don't think he should be taking those shots.
But they're like, this is Nick Wright is right. This is bad basketball. Can you imagine if Michael Jordan shot a dozen three-pointers a game and didn't go to the basket the way he would go to the basket? That's how we fell in love with the game.
Yeah.
We fell in love with Magic on the fast break, Larry Bird in the mid-range, Michael Jordan going to the basket, Dr. J. And we didn't fall in love with just watching guys shoot a dozen three-pointers a game.
His career, has been a 36% three-point shooter. This year, he's at 44.
Yeah. But in percentages would say, stop going to the basket, just shoot threes all game long. But it's not entertaining. And so he was saying, one, and I think a lot of people have said this, no more corner threes. You stick Maxi Kleba in the corner, go, you suck at shooting, but from 22 feet, you're okay at it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so from 23.9, you're horrible at it. But from 22 feet, have a chance.
Yeah.
And so, one, you eliminate the corner. You just keep the arc. And I do think they do have to go to this because he talked about, what if the tush push got 4 yards per play?
Okay.
And you kept seeing it in the NFL. Yeah. You'd be like, well, it just makes sense. We're going to get a first down every time. We're eventually going to score a touchdown. And you're like, but this is miserable to watch a quarterback sneak for 4 yards every play. Like, this isn't fun to watch. And he's like, it's not fun to just watch guys jack up three-pointers. It's not an entertaining product. And so he was saying that maybe you only allow a team to take 15 three-pointers a game. Which I think is a little bit extreme, but I was wondering this.
That had another level of strategy to the whole
thing.
What
if this? You can take as many threes as you want. After you make 10, you're done. You can keep shooting them. They only count for 2 points. So almost like, hey, last night the Mavs were 10 of 40. I guess they could have kept shooting them. But once you got to 10 makes, they're only 2-point shots now. So you can spread the court out as much as you want. But now the team knows, well, when you take that corner three or the wing three, it only counts for two because they've already made their 10 for the game.
Interesting.
So I was thinking more of that. Instead of saying you only get, Nick Wright was saying you only get 15 per game, you better pick and choose wisely when you shoot the three. What if you can shoot as many as you want, but only 10 of them will count for 3 points?
I think you agree with me. My favorite players to watch are the ones that use the three to set up other things. Use the other things to set up threes. The balance of throwing you off. I don't know what he's going to do because he has a great step. Once he pump fakes me, he has a great step to go to the basket. Those are my favorite kinds of players, and that kind of feels like it might eliminate a little bit of that because once it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah.
And so I got a player. Now, old-time Kawhi, who had a great mid-range game, he's like, well, I can't use that now because they know I can't shoot threes.
I know I'm going back in the day a little bit. Maybe I'm going too far back in history here, but I'm going to do it. Magic Johnson on a fast break would have Worthy and Scott filling the lane for dunks.
Yeah.
Awesome dunks. Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen getting out on a break. You knew something spectacular was going to happen around the rim. They weren't stopping or running to the corners. Now nobody actually, when you have a fast break, nobody's supposed to go to the basket. You're supposed to fan out to three-point lanes. And so if you've already, to me, one of my solutions would be, yes, no more corner threes. The arc is just the arc. So now in the corner, there is no three-point shot. And then I would have the only 10 of them. My solution would be you can only count 10 three-pointers a game. So if you make 10 and you're at halftime and you've shot the ball well, that's fine. You can keep spreading the court out. But those are only now 2-point shots because you've made your 10 3-pointers. Shoot as many as you want, but only 10 of them that go in will count. Once you get to 10, we've eliminated the 3-point shot from your game. You probably would want to go to the basket more.
This is just further proof, Kevin, that nerds are screwing up sports. Because if we hadn't paid attention to the analytics on this, we would have never known that it's more valuable to shoot a 3-pointer.
I mean,
thanks a lot, nerds.
I don't know if that was totally my takeaway from that. But do you think, so I have a few questions. Let me start with this. Do you think the NBA, I know what the numbers say. Do you think the NBA thinks they have a problem?
I think they're leaning towards yes, but not like we are in. It took years for Major League Baseball to go, we have a problem here with the shift.
Yeah.
Like and so I think the 3-point shot has only been crazy, let's say, since about COVID. Now, look, Golden State was doing it, but now every team is like, we need to take a minimum of 30 3-point shots a game, a minimum. We need to be shooting closer to 50 3-pointers a game. Now, I know that they're not getting there, but I do think the analytic people that have been hired are saying, out of our 100 shots a game, we should be shooting 50 3-pointers. That's not fun to watch.
All right, my next...
But I don't think they think they have a major problem yet, but I think they're seeing that they're getting there. I think it's about 2020 or 2019 in baseball.
Because I agree with them when it comes to baseball. That wasn't fun to watch whenever it was everybody just trying to hit homers and striking out. You know, like it's fun to watch baseball where people are on base and everything's intense.
Nobody's playing. Like if Joey Gallo's up, nobody's on the left side of the field.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Nobody's on the left side of the field.
Okay, and in that case, I think tickets factored in a little bit, ratings a little bit, but just looking at the quality of play, will it be a combination of those things again? Will it be live event attendance drop, TV ratings drop, and just watching the product and be like, this is boring? Will it take all three of those to like push it over the edge?
I think so, because in the interview, it's like they just got $76 billion.
Yeah.
Now, over a long period of time for a TV contract, but they're like, money-wise, that is about, if I remember this right, 50% of your revenue, and it might be higher than that, I think it's 50 though, comes from television.
Yeah.
So,
it's so high for football compared to all the rest of them. Yeah.
So I don't think that they're going to flip a switch in this offseason.
Okay.
Now, Nick Wright is saying they need to flip the switch
and
in the offseason.
I still
think they're a couple years away, but it is getting to the point where now we're seeing 80, like last night, you saw 81 3-point attempts. Is that what we really want from the game of basketball?
No. Especially when so many of your great players right now are so adept with the ball, so adept at playmaking.
There's more skilled players dribbling-wise than we've ever seen.
I like a great pass, for sure. But I like a great pass that doesn't lead to an uncontested three. I like a great pass like in transition or you go to the basket a lot more than I do the alternative.
Did you feel like Boston was a huge proponent of the three-pointer last year?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
They just spread
last
the court out.
Last year in the 71 attempts per NBA Finals game, they averaged 40. The Mavs averaged 31.
Wow. Okay, yeah. And see, that's the... I agree with you. Like it changed completely.
They feel like they're low on that. By the way, Boston thinks they want to attempt 10 more per game.
And what was the once their 3-pointer, like the Mavericks kind of adjusted, they're like, now we got to go to the basket. And Jaylen Brown's amazing at that. Tatum's amazing at that part. Yeah, Tatum's not the greatest 3-point shooter all the time, but he's amazing around the basket. And it takes away from some of those things that we get to see.
And you're asking bad guys. You also have eliminated players like, I know this is going back, Tyreke Evans was Rookie of the Year.
Yes.
And as the Golden State Warriors progress, they're like, Tyreke Evans is worthless in this NBA.
Can I ask you, so two other quick basketball notes. Former Maverick Grant Williams going to be out for the rest of the season. And then did you see Donovan Klingon's stat line this past weekend?
No.
All right. So he had...
For who?
That's Klingon. For the Trailblazers. He...
How the hell have they won 7 games?
That is a good point. And they did beat Houston 104-98. Donovan Klingon, 3 blocks, 0 points, and 19 rebounds. That's crazy.
That is impressive.
Oh, that's the last
that's
thing
my
I
kind
forgot.
Of game.
Nick Wright said count the dunk as 3 points.
Okay, and I thought that was intriguing as well. I know they're
I'll
not going to do it, but that's going to go along with the decrease of automatic 3-pointer, I guess 4-point shots. But it will encourage people not only to go to the basket, but to finish at the basket.
And you get 6 bonus points if you get 20-plus rebounds.
It messes up. It does mess up the stats, like LeBron being the highest scorer. But if you did go an and one, if you shoot a 2 and you make it, you already get 3 points, and now you're shooting the free throw for the 4th point.
That's old.
So now you're encouraging guys to try to finish around the basket and not just fling it up. Now, sometimes you get the foul, but hey, if you get the and one, it counts as 3 already. You're shooting that free throw for a 4th point.
Interesting breakdown. Oh, look. But I like how Mike laid out he thinks they're at baseball phase right now where they're like, hey, yeah, maybe it's a problem. Maybe it's not. We're going to need at least a few more years before.
Yeah, that's
like,
where I think they're at. They're still going to go 2 or 3 more years of no adjustments to shooting a zillion 3-pointers.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next.
And Daniels back to throw over the middle. He's got a man wide open.
Fumble.
Fumble! Dallas is going to get the fumble by John Bates, the tight end.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. As we continue to build up for Peace-a-thon on Wednesday, looks like we're going to have Bruce Bochy join the program as well because he's like, I like those guys.
Yes.
If you tell him to say, go get Rangers.
Go get Rangers.
I won't
lie. We're going to talk probably 20 straight minutes of bourbon with him.
I talked to him about that in the Anaheim dugout.
Did he see the humor behind
it?
Okay.
He gets jokes, dude. He's funny.
He does get jokes. All right, right now.
He'll get jokes.
Brought to you, shut up. Right, brought to you by D&M Leasing. It's time for our chit chat with those fellas from the G-Bank Nation, live from Shell Shack in Arlington. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Hey, you were awesome. How are you?
I'm good. I heard you guys might have like some giveaways and whatnot happening out there as well.
Oh, yeah. We got all the giveaways, right, guys?
Yeah. We got a $100. Is that right, Heggy?
Yes.
Would you promote it?
Yes.
Yes. I believe so.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, we got a $100 dinner.
Yes.
We're going to give away here today. So, really, really excited about that. Come by and see us.
All right. So, people have in that Shell Shack in Arlington, if you want to go see the G-Bag Nation, honestly, why would you not? People have been very conflicted all day. I know it really made Sean angry this morning, and he was yelling at people. I understand the draft pick. I really, really do. But at no point during that game was I rooting against the Cowboys. I was rooting for them to win. When Washington missed the extra point, I was rooting for them to win. Where did y'all fall in terms of, like, that's your team versus draft strategy and all the good stuff?
I mean, was it Mike who said it earlier? I wasn't rooting for them or against them. You know, I was enjoying the calamity of the game in the context of the season.
Yeah.
And then they started scoring, and I was just like, holy crap, how's this thing going to end? And in the end, I got to tell you, Hagee, if I had to pick one, I was probably 51% disappointed they didn't get a top 5 pick.
Okay.
But beating Washington had so much value. The game itself had so much value for entertainment. I was totally happy with the result.
It's one of the most conflicted I've ever been
okay.
in the midst of a game, I would say, because I was after the Turpin touchdown. It's like, okay, dude, like that was awesome. Good for you guys. You did it. Like, I got to be happy for you. You went out there and you beat the Commanders. And the fact that it is the Commanders, like you said, Dawson, it's just so hilarious. Like, we're doing the pregame show yesterday,
yeah.
and everything is just rainbows and butterflies. Commanders, we got there. The voice of the Commanders on. Joe Davis is on. And everything is just about how the Commanders to the moon.
Get right
the Cowboys,
game.
Yeah, get oh, right yeah. game. How many times?
Get right game. We Bram heard about Weinstein, 5 times yesterday.
Bram Weinstein, voice of the Commanders, said get right game. A record setting number of times in the midst of our 12-minute conversation and lead up. And we were joking about the captains for the game. It was like Cooper Rush, Linval Joseph, and Princeton Fant. We were like, we played a game. Like, is this a preseason game or is this a week 12 game? Because it was a joke. And then they go out there and they do what they did. But after the McLaurin touchdown, I wanted them to lose. And
okay.
then I was like a little bit, like when that happened.
Okay,
this is yeah, just too like, good to
this
be
is
true.
The
They're going to go
season, right?
Yeah, like this is as funny as it gets. And I was a little disappointed when the kicker missed that extra point.
The moment I thought that we were going to find a way to lose this game was when Kevontae Turpin dropped the kickoff. Now, I realize in the span of the next 12 seconds, amazing things would break out. But
Man. He was setting him up. He's setting him by slow playing the return.
Yeah.
He got McGee to come out of position. Like saying, they were staying in their lanes all the way down. He fumbles, and then he kind of slow plays it on the return. And all of a sudden, you get a guy going, you get two guys going for the ball out of position, created an alley, and he spun it right into the alley. Now,
it was an amazing spin.
Yeah, but they could have. They had a block in the back on the play, and they also had a holding call right at the point of attack that the officials missed in this one. So caught a little break in that way.
I heard he learned that from Romo. Actually, he thought of the shotgun snap over his head, the spin move. It's all in there, you know. And why not?
It's amazing.
He's number nine, bro.
Yeah.
We're playing the long game. I get it. Now
he was just inspired by his childhood quarterback.
Broadus, I heard Sean and RJ played a clip of you getting into it with a caller yesterday.
Yeah,
and, you know, that guy can bleep himself.
And Jerry.
Wasn't like one in the morning when I did it either. It was still like when you know, the Wonderful World of Disney was about to come on ABC. I wasn't very family friendly there, was I?
I heard it, but I heard a very distinctive, that I feel like most of us at the station, at least one time or another, have been on the other side of that. You can tell that you fundamentally disagree with the argument that we're putting forth. And that was the yep that you delivered in that moment.
Yep. Yeah, no, I mean, listen, you know, the thing about it was that, you know, when people were talking about the station and that we were not critical of and we don't do this and do that, you know, trying to hold the Joneses accountable or hold McCarthy accountable or talk about the team. And, you know, I mean, we give credit. I think we're fair in a lot of ways the way we cover. And this guy just he was trying to make it sound like that wasn't the case. And that bothers me more. You can't tell me that you listen all the time, been this,
yes,
been that. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're not hearing our station and really what the message is. And sure, there's times I think we've been very, very fair about the way this team's played. I think we've been like very critical when it needs to be. I just was not in the mood to hear it from that guy when it just kind of, you know, he tried to kind of sell it as, okay, I'm being nice, I listen. But then he's saying stuff and then I'm like, you're not listening. You're full of, you know what?
Yeah.
You're not listening.
I'm with you. This morning, yeah. Sorry to step
Go
on
ahead.
Y'all. This morning, we had a couple of people who were like, oh, look at the fan. One win, and now everything's fixed. And I'm like, literally, when did you hear that?
It's not the case at all.
Yeah. I mean, no.
You win a game, all of the things that are still a problem and a flaw with the organization and this football team are still relevant. Yeah. Jerry and Steven need to change the way that some things are run here. There's no question about that. But two things can be true. We can still be ticked off and annoyed at how this season's gone and this team is not good. They were a missed PAT possibly away from losing the game.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't remedy or solve anything with a magic wand of a win in Washington at all. But after just sitting there and watching this team look like the worst team in football for 5 weeks and losing, to get a little bit of joy for an afternoon over a win to where you're still a game out of having a top five pick. I mean, unless you go back and look it up, you can't tell me the game that they won in 2015 or in 2020 that screwed them from getting a top five pick when they probably would have taken a J.C. Horn, who hasn't turned out to be good, and they landed a Micah Parsons. Like, you just don't know how the draft's going to work out. So, yeah, it was fun to watch them go and beat the Commandos yesterday. And I think after every postgame show, I've been bitching and moaning about the Jones family, and I think it's all on Jerry and Steven, 100%. But yesterday, I just wasn't going to do it. And that guy, I think, is a ticket listener. I think Mike was 100% right, because they're feeding you a bunch of BS if you listen to their promos, too. And it's just not accurate. It's just not true. The morning show interviews Jerry, and Jerry is literally threatening to fire them because he's so annoyed because they're actually asking him questions that need to be answered. And he doesn't have an answer because he knows that he's sitting in the bed that he's made right now, and it's bad.
Yeah, he called Sean and RJ the Y word. Never expected.
Yay-hoos. What do you guys
that
got?
Was perfect, the way you guys hit that perfectly.
What do you guys got coming up on the program today? And remind everyone, please, where you're at.
We're in Shell Shack here, Arlington, right off 30. Love to see you here. And we do have a very full show planned for you today, including the Mike McCarthy press conference at 4:40. Top takeaways from the game right out of the gates here.
All right, roll home with the G-Bag Nation or go see them at Shell Shack in Arlington. Got those giveaways going as well. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Come see us tomorrow at Buffalo Wild Wings in Addison. Yes, I know we're switching things up for the holiday. We'll be at Buffalo Wild Wings in Addison tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Say good game, Kevin.
Good game.